You have been trained well.
Yes, welcome to Youth Voice. Today we are talking about the issue of, well, we're talking about dating and prom. No. I'll tell you, there's some bitter issues. I mean, there are some serious issues related to prom. You, yeah, serious. That's what I'm talking about. People are angry. People are absolutely angry. Originally, we were going to do a different show, a different topic altogether. But boy, once we hit this issue and saw how much there was to discuss, we just went. We just went with prom and dating. The prom and dating in general. Yeah, some bad vibes around this issue. Girl. Yeah, people are angry. I want to tell you that Youth Voice is a weekly youth-run radio talk show. We come to you every Sunday and have for nearly 5 years. 5 years of youth-run radio. That's pretty cool. I don't know that you can say that with any other sort of project similar to this. Can they, Nate?
I doubt it.
Aren't we Snohomish County's only weekly youth-run radio talk show?
Yep.
I believe so. Now, this is program, Nate, if you didn't know. I know you know, Nate. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing you. Is a collaboration between the Everett Family YMCA and our friends here at 90.7 KSCR. And we have a lot of fun. When I say youth-run radio, I mean truly it is youth-run. All I do is talk. That's it. The kids push the buttons. They brainstorm the questions. They do all kinds of neat stuff. What are you showing me? You're showing me. Oh, it's a letter. This is very nice. So I'm reading The Adventurous Listener, which is our little publication here at 90.7 KSCR, and it's a little blurb in here. So we have a fan letter. We have a fan letter from one of our own participants. Why? But I thought you wanted me to read it. But, actually, you bring up some good stuff in this little note here. It says, hey, KSCR fans, I just wanted to say thanks to all of you who called in to the station during Youth Voice show on February 20th on religion. It was great to get some public response to our show. Our cast was surprised and pleased to know that our listeners were interested and curious about our topics and discussion. I would love to welcome any more comments, but she won't. You would love to welcome. Get to the microphone, you. You decided against welcoming them?
Like a little person's microphone.
We can.
It makes a loud noise.
Get real close to it, though, would you?
Okay.
There we go. Anyway, so Lena wrote an isolate art, especially what I want to cover is that there you can get a hold of us via email at youthvoice@hotmail.com. But very soon, Lena, very, very soon, Youth Voice will have a presence on the World Wide Web.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my golly. Yeah, everyone's really excited about that. Yeah, we're going to have a webpage, and on that page, we will have pictures of the kids that participate in the program. We will have discussion groups around issues that are important. We will have all manner of exciting, thought-provoking content.
It'll either intrigue you or scare you off. Those pictures, we don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's why we're on the radio.
That's why we don't have a little television show. Which I always wanted, though. I always wanted to do a cable access show.
Have you ever seen any of those?
Yes, they're freaky.
They're so weird.
They're so us.
Yeah, we should bring a camera in here and just...
I know, I'm serious. We should do that. I'm thinking about it. I really am. It's something that I thought about for a long time. So let that cook in the let that simmer in the brain pot for a while, and then let me know what we come up with later on. Maybe we'll do our own little.
We can do Forest Park.
Forest Park. That's what we wanted to do. We were going to do something like that. Anyway, today's show, the prom and dating in general. Here's the first question that I'm hoping you will all rush to the microphone to answer. Talk to me about the dating scene right now in high school. What's it like for you specifically? Because I think it's different for different people, and I don't know that we're talking necessarily about only high school. We're talking about your age, because I know there's various degrees of folks here who are in school, who are in college, but you're all around the same age. So, Lena.
It's really disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Well, I don't know. I guess there's different areas. There's, at the moment, it's pretty typical to be going out with one person at one time, and then, you know, very immediately after a really dramatic Dawson's Creek breakup, you're going out with the best friend, and then, you know, they ended up going out, you know, just weird stuff.
So
and
sort of the usual kind
it's
of...
It's really, really stereotyped,
right? And,
but it lives up to the stereotype.
Well, do you think is it the stereotype that was sort of there before the whole sort of drama business became popular, or are they mimicking the stereotype? Are they sort of, I mean, just the drama and the trauma of it all?
Take Dawson's Creek.
Yeah,
it's high school. It really is high school. Everything about it brought to extremes.
Right.
All the relationships, they're pretty realistic, except for the fact that they are, we don't have a vocabulary like they do. You know, like, it's so scripted, but it's just like everything to extremes. So it is pretty real. It's just kind of depressing.
It's depressing because it is so real, or
it
depressing?
Is really real that, like, student, it's so, superficial, how superficial people can be with each other.
Right.
And there are some really sincere couples that I really do respect for, you know, being together for, you know, 3-4 years and then trying to figure out how to make it work through college. You know, I've seen that, and it's neat to me, but there are also those people that I kind of want to choke.
got it, definitely. I've seen that, the whole drama thing. You just want to be like, get over it. So what do you think?
Okay. At our school, I think it's basically just, like, I think it's ridiculous because there's girls running around, like, were you looking at my man? That's my man. And, like...
Really?
Yeah, and, like, I'm going to beat you up for looking at my man. Don't even go there. And, yeah, it's like, oh, my God, it's so ridiculous.
That's so Jerry Springer.
I know it is. I think that they watch too much of it because every day I hear stuff like that. It's like in middle school, everyone was threatening to beat everyone up. And once I got into high school as a freshman, it wasn't so bad.
Right.
But now it's all of a sudden, like, it's taking over again. Like, everyone wants to beat up everyone else, and...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I don't like it at all. I think
so is there a lot of fighting, like fist fighting or rumbling that goes down between a broken relationship? Or
I think it's more like threatening right now. I mean, even in middle school, there wasn't so much fighting as there was threatening.
Intimidating and all that stuff.
Yeah, because right. They want to seem bigger than the other person.
Right.
And so, like, the situation that one of my friends has is her friend is dating her ex-boyfriend, and she's mad because that was her ex. And so she's saying, oh, I'm going to beat you up because you're dating my ex-boyfriend who I no longer care about. How Jerry Springer is that?
Some issues there, yeah. Definitely some issues.
Yeah.
Well, here's the question then. What is a date? I mean, do people go, hey, do you want to go out on a date?
No.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like it, but...
They go, hey.
Well, come on. I'll come up to the microphone and talk about it because I want to know, like, what happens? I mean, do you go out with friends and then you become romantically interested? Or do you are you romantically interested and then you ask a person to go do something? Or go ahead.
Hey, well, this works so much better. I don't know. I don't really go to school at the moment, but, like, I've always had this thing for going out with older guys. So I would never date a high school guy unless I was younger, but I know with me it's just like I have no problem with I'd have to hang out with the person for a little bit and get to know them on a little bit of a basis, and then just like go up and just be like, hey, you know what, are you busy this weekend, let's go kick it, go to the movies, whatever, blah blah blah.
So you don't have a problem actually going up to somebody and saying, hey, let's hang out?
No, like if I know that they're at least somewhat interested. Or if, I don't know, it's just like if I get to know them as them. I mean, I can go up and just like find a guy and just be like, damn, you know what? Let's go do something, you know, but it's kind of pointless just because you don't know anything about each other.
Right. And so, you can approach somebody sort of in that anonymous way. Like if you don't know them, you just like the way they look or whatever, and then have them be just the biggest creep in the entire world.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't go on looks.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
Yeah, gotcha. Yep, go ahead. We're okay. Sort of doing a different thing here, but yeah.
Okay, at our school, like mostly in high schools, it's not a thing like, hey, you want to go out on a date? It's, will you go out with me?
it's almost like that check yes, check no type of thing.
Do you like me? Check yes.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a lot easier, I guess. I mean, you don't have to deal with like all that confusing, I think we're dating, I think we're not type of thing. So I guess high schoolers are just lazy. They don't want to put all that much effort into courting somebody.
They want to know up front the exact answer and not have to go.
Well, you gotta get up to the microphone when you're talking. I can't hear you at all. But you know what? That's an interesting thing. Will you go out with me? I mean, like, so that would be sort of, I guess, in archaic terminology, going steady. Do you guys say that anymore?
I guess so. Well, I guess in archaic terminology, wouldn't that be like just beginning dating?
What's that? Going steady?
No.
Or going out?
Going out.
Well, in my mind, because when I was in high school, it was going out. Or are mm-hmm. you guys going out? And which meant that we were together, like we were a couple in high school. If you were going out with somebody, they were your boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah, I think it's still like that, but it's like my property, go away.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of that there wasn't a lot of like, stay back away from my man, I'll knock you down. I mean, not a lot of girls were fist fighting. That's sort of a new, or well, threatening too.
I usually date my friends, you know, but I've noticed, as opposed to high school dating, mm-hmm. as opposed to college dating, because mm-hmm. I'm going to college, is it's a lot, so much easier. You don't have the little buildup of little superficial anxieties like, oh my gosh, if she doesn't like me, blah, 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 then right. we can't be friends, and I can't see her ever again because she's no, I'm a dork because I asked her out. It's more like, hey, you're cool. Do you want to go out sometime? Like, you know, in college, it's
right.
like,
a different
it's more
scene.
Straightforward. And if you're like, no, I'm not really interested in you. They're like, oh, that's cool. And then you're still friends, which is all I think is the sane way to do it. But call
that's
me
true
crazy.
Because a lot of people, a lot of people get pretty wrapped up into the dating game, and they're so anxiety ridden about being sort of declined, or, you know, sort of that fear of what's the word, Nate?
Fear of rejection.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about this earlier.
I
think it might be that high schoolers just love the drama or something. Like in high school, you're going through all these changes and everything is so traumatic.
But is it not valid though? I mean, that's the thing that always bothers me. I mean, not bothers me, it concerns me, because it's, for one thing, definitely there's a lot of drama, there's a lot of trauma in high school, very emotionally charged interactions and those kinds of things. Does that make it any less significant? I mean, that it's high school, well, that there is maybe less emotional maturity. It's still fairly...
No, I think that's just the excuse.
So you think that it's like no big thing? Like you can go to somebody and just say, you know, well, shut up.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Basically.
Yeah,
like,
there are definitely times...
Out. Stop obsessing for the last 5 months, just ask the person out. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Do you think that it's sometimes more fun to have a crush on somebody than to actually go out with them?
Well, yeah, definitely.
Because until you actually go out with them, they're sort of your dream date.
Yeah, they have
they're
no
like the
faults.
Exactly, they're the perfect human being until you date them, and you're like, ew.
And you're like, oh, he has funny nose hairs. Oh, gosh.
Thank you very much. Yes, Lena?
Yeah, it really is just about the drama a lot of the times, and it is really fun to flirt, and it's really fun to have a crush on somebody and know they have a crush on you. It's that when you're in high school, you're kind of in this middle ground where you're not quite an adult and you're not quite a kid. And so how do you base a relationship, especially if you're like really into someone for their personality, like, and you're like, well, gosh, I could really, if only we weren't in high school, because it just seems silly at the time. Like, I know that's how it is for me. And maybe I know some high schoolers really take themselves seriously. And I just have a really hard time doing that, because at this point, I could, like, say, oh, I'm in love with someone. Like, I can really love someone, but I still would feel really silly saying, I'm in love with this person, blah, blah, blah. I could commit to this, because you're at such an awkward point, you don't know when something's going to pull a Yui and fishtail back in your face. And
right. Well, no, I mean, that's sort of interesting. I think it is, definitely a rare occurrence where somebody hooks up with a person in high school and stays with them for the rest of their lives. I mean, that's rare.
But I also think it's really, really neat when somebody does or stays with them or gets something out of it. And
right.
It's valued and not taken for granted. That's what I see a lot, is a lot of, especially younger girls and older boys tend to get in these relationships, and it seems to be more it's easier to manipulate a young girl who's really insecure, and when an older boy says, you know, hey, I like you, you know, it automatically makes you feel like, wow, I'm not out of place. Maybe I do belong, blah, blah, blah.
I'm much cooler than I think I am.
I am much, yeah, and so you allow yourself to be sunken into that whole realm, and it's not reality, and so I see that a lot, and that's what bothers me, is seeing older boys getting involved with younger girls, and the younger girls just...
See, that sort of disturbs me a little bit as well, only because I think because of that scenario that potentially an older boy will be taking advantage of a younger girl.
Yeah, that's really...
And that's sort of what, you know, just because of their age and their influence and their access and all that stuff, I mean, they are closer to what a person in high school wants to be, and that's mature and adult and grown up and able to make, you know, big kid decisions.
Yeah, and I know we're not talking about sex, but there are, you know, statistics that say that nowadays there are less boys having sex, or less girls having sex, and more boys, teenage years, and they are younger girls. There are more younger girls having sex than older girls, and there are less boys having sex, and they're all older. So it shows that the older boys in a school might be kind of, it's a really harsh term, but if you're really using someone for physical pleasure, it really is, they're using a large group of young girls who will fall for it because of their influence.
Right, right, and because the girls are so young and inexperienced when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Because, I think that where... There is sort of the stereotypical guy, and we know these guys that are pigs at school.
Oh, yeah, stereotypes don't come from nothing, you know?
I mean, at least in this particular situation, we know them. We were actually brought up scenarios today where mm-hmm. there are just guys that are pigs at school that say things that definitely have that attitude that they're using girls, but the girls fall in love.
Yeah.
Because they're truly in love, and that's where excuses like, well, if you really loved me.
Yeah, that's what I don't respect about high school dating, is that the likelihood of it being 100% genuine on both ends and mutual is slim to none, and it's hard not to get hurt. It's hard not to get hurt in any relationship.
Yeah.
But when you're a high schooler and everything's emotionally threatening to your entire being, and then something like that happens when you've decided you're in love with someone, that can screw you up.
Absolutely. Yeah, Eileen, I think you're absolutely right. It can certainly cause some damage. Howdy, friend.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, tell me what you think about all this stuff.
A little, you people are so short.
Yeah.
But I was just like on that older guys dating younger girls, like, you know, I'm there. I know what it's like. And I will admit, yeah, that's happened to me before. But from my experience from going through that, I know now what I want in a relationship, and it's going to be with like an older guy. I'm not saying like 10 years older, but you know, a couple years older. And I know, like, if he was to try to play head games, I'd play him right back, you know. And it's just, I see girls that go out with guys their age, and they still, it's just about who the girl is, if she's strong enough to understand who she is and what she wants, you know. And it's just like basically about, you know, and I don't know, like this girl I worked with, she was so in love with her boyfriend, and I met her boyfriend, and he was completely playing her, you know. You could tell from the moment he walked in the door, he was just messing with her head, and it was really sad to see that. And he was like, actually, I think he was like younger than her, but it's just because she was so insecure with herself, and she wanted so badly to like be loved by someone.
You know, that's really
really
tough, and especially and I know what you're talking about. Being a person who's worked with teens in the arena with teens, in that whole human services area, I've seen that as well. I've seen relationships where it's definitely not reciprocal, like where the girl is in love but the guy isn't.
Yeah.
The guy isn't in love, and girls make poor decisions based on, they want to demonstrate love, or they think that that's what love's about, and they make a poor decision and end up getting pregnant, or getting their heart broken.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's tough. That's tough stuff. What do you do as a person who sees that, as a person who can identify that someone's in that relationship? Do you say something? Do you not?
I have, like, with my best friend, she was with a guy for a while who she knew he was cheating on her, and he told her, and she was still with him just because she thought she cared about him. And I tried so hard to tell her, like, look, you know what? You really need to take a step back and look at what he's doing to you. But she was so involved in the relationship, she didn't want to step back because
it was sort of clouding her judgment.
Yeah, she wanted so badly to, like, be with this guy, like, the whole entire time that all these girls were, like, envying her because she was with him. He messed with her head, said he loved her, so she, you know, and that's what she wanted. And it's just, like, you can't tell this person to do what's right unless they really want to.
That's very true.
And that's why it's, like, it's really sad to be the friend to look at somebody in a really bad relationship and, like, try your hardest to help them, but unless they want to be helped, you can't help them.
Absolutely, and I also have seen circumstances where the relationship in question, the people who were involved, get very, very offended. I mean, it's almost as though logic leaves the room and they become this irrational being, even in the face of knowing that person's cheating on them or knowing that person doesn't necessarily care for them or whatever the scenario is. That's just very, very odd. But thank you for bringing that up. Very good points. Hello, my friend.
Hi. Okay, I think that maybe the reason that there's a lot of drama in relationships in high school is because in the relationship, they both want to seem older than they actually are. And so they think that by bringing up all this drama, it makes them more mature. And
makes them much more important.
They think, oh, Beverly Hills 90210, that's what they do all the time. Hey, I'm cool and mature now. And a lot of the girls don't know the difference between love and infatuation. And
well, what is the difference between love and infatuation, and how can you tell when you're in the throes of it?
I actually have a list at home because I took a human relationships course, and it was like the best class I could have ever taken. And if you're infatuated with somebody, you think about them all the time, and you always have to be around them. You put your needs before theirs. And obviously, if you're in a loving relationship, you're going to think about their needs first. You're going to be able to be away from them for a certain period of time. I mean, when you wake up, you're not just going to think, oh, my God, I have to see this person right now.
Do you have friends that are in those sorts of relationships where every waking moment is about the relationship?
Shut up.
All right. No names, please.
Yeah, I definitely know people like that.
That's very tough. Where does that come from?
I think it's just that this person needs to be loved by somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it has anything to do with their past or just because they always feel the need to have a boyfriend, maybe.
Right.
But it's just they feel the need to be loved by somebody at all times. And even if this person doesn't love them back, they convince themselves that they love them and become infatuated with them. And it's really bad on their self-esteem, I think, because then they just sit there and think to themselves, oh, I'm so in love with them. And then when they finally reject them.
Or get rejected or whatever.
Yeah. Then it's so bad on their self-esteem because they think I love that person so much and they rejected me and now I'm all alone and no one's ever going to love me again.
Right. Their focus becomes so narrow. They just, that's a very, very interesting perspective. Thank you for sharing that. Let's get a comment from Lena and then go to a musical break.
Oh, well, I just, on that topic about infatuation, I've been in a situation like that. I don't really thrive on high school relationships at all, but I was in one particular situation where my boyfriend, who was my boyfriend for 5 months, who I cared about very much so, but it was the lopsided. It was the other way around. It wasn't the girl who needed the boy. It was very much so the other way around, and he would be at my house in the morning and throw rocks at my window to go on a walk before I rode my bike to work or school or whatever. And he was my age. He was lacking something very emotionally. And it was really hard for me to finally say, I'm not okay with this because I feel like it was not mutual. And it wasn't fair to do that. I noticed that it wasn't mutual. And it was very, I don't think he really was in love. I'm sure he cared about me, but it was hard to see him throw himself into something so deeply that was so new and so juvenile.
Right, right. And I would imagine that puts you in a really difficult position.
It was really hard.
Makes you very much responsible for their mental well-being.
That was what I felt like, and I didn't want to take on that responsibility. And at the same time, I think I'm not saying it's impossible to love someone in high school, because, you know, I have loved people, but not being so in love with someone that you treat it like you're married. You treat it like, well, let's have dinner tonight. Well, I have to eat with my family tonight, but you said you'd have dinner with me. And I was like, yeah, I had dinner with you maybe a couple weeks ago. You know, that kind of thing. Like,
right, right.
It wasn't like we were married, and it shouldn't have felt like we were married. And
it sort of changes when that desperation slips in there, when they start acting very, very desperate, very, very needy.
And he would feel
needy,
so hurt.
Yeah.
Because we had mutual friends. And so when we're in a friendly situation and he wanted to be more than friendly with me, I would have a very hard time saying, no, you know what, I'm friends with my friends, and I'm going to be friendly to them, and I don't want to have to spend the whole time clinging to you or you clinging to me. And it did. I did not want to take on the responsibility of their emotional well-being, so finally breaking it off, it was like a three-hour conversation into the middle of the night of me just trying to say, this isn't what I need right now, and I want to be there for you as a friend. And it's so hard. So I just want to make sure people are aware that it's not always the girl needing the boy.
No, sure, sure. Definitely.
It was really kind of sad.
Yeah, it sounds sort of that way. And, you know, and it would be interesting to find out how folks like that do later on. I mean,
are we still looking at friends?
Yeah. I mean, are you looking at a developmental thing? Are we looking at, like, emotional steps towards being more of a healthy partner in a relationship or friend at the very least?
Burnt before me by another person who he did the same thing to her as he did to me. And, you know, I slowly learned as I went on from his friends and stuff that this is not an abnormal occurrence for him to throw himself into it. And so when when we broke up, when we, you know, went our separate ways, I remained friends with him, and I see him every day. He lives two houses away. It's a good relationship, but I don't want to give him the wrong ideas, because I know he has those ideas. He's told me very recently. So you have to put up that wall still, but it's so important to still be there for them.
You know, and I think it's important for folks who are listening to also realize that you can come on too strong, and that there's really not a point in life where logic should escape you. I mean, I wonder what folks think when they're in that frame of mind, or why they're so desperate and so angst-ridden. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I thought this was a great quote. This is from Practical Magic. Okay, cheesy movie. I love it. But anyway, I thought this was the greatest quote.
I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, this is really cute. I love both of them. But she goes, if you want to know what being in love is like, it's like, have you ever spun around and around and around and around? And she's like, and then, whatever her name was, says, that's what love is like. It's like spinning around and around and around. But you have to be sure that you keep something stable in your eyesight. Because if you don't have something stable, then you'll lose yourself and you'll fall down. So I think that's like,
I think that great. Is. I do too. I mean, you want to be able to participate in that feeling and being in love, but you also want to be a realist and take care of yourself and focus your life as you, the individual, not you, who you are because of the person that you're with.
Yeah, because it's a great feeling, but you got to make sure that you have at least one person or something that you know can check you when you're being stupid, and then you can. You have to believe them. You have to make yourself believe them when they're saying, you know, dude, I love you, but no.
Right, right. This isn't working. Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. That's a very nice nice place to stop for a musical break. When we come back from this musical break, we're going to talk about the prom. We're going to talk about the prom and what it means. There, like I said, folks, there are some serious issues around the prom, and we're gonna let those issues out of the closet when we come back from this song. Who is playing it?
I am.
Nate!
I'm going to replay a little track that we world premiered a couple months ago.
Yeah!
And this CD's on the verge of release, finally.
Woo.
It's Delta Sonic's Onward Into Obscurity album.
Yay!
And the track is... and they're local. Woo. Right out of Everett. All right, keep doing that.
Straight out of Everett.
Straight out of Everett. And this track is called Blue. It's the first song I ever heard them play, and I just really dig it.
From us. I was going to say from us to you.
From us to you.
You're listening to 90.7 KSCR.
And if you're listening, Tony, we love you.
We do.
All right.
Enjoy.
On top of my head before I went to school, it's true, it's blue. Don't know about you, but yeah, I'm out of here and now.
Welcome back to Youth Voice. This is Troy. I'm your host, surrounded by some of the smartest kids, some of the brightest minds that Snohomish County has to offer. Right, Utes?
Yeah.
Some self-esteem issues, perhaps. All right, so let's talk about prom.
No.
What is the problem with prom? What do we just not like it? Is it just too corny, too painful to
Troy.
Yes, Lena.
Why is it the last dance of the year for all, you know, students? This is why I ask you, because prom also happens to be the most important, influential dance of the year.
Yes.
I love dancing. I would love to be 18, 21, be able to go dancing, but no, I am stuck with prom and Tolo and homecoming. Now, the dance order at Everett High School is homecoming, Tolo, prom. Prom was last night. I did not go. I figured out why last night.
Why?
And it made me angry.
Why?
Well, for one, the only person who asked me was a stalker. Not like a crazy stalker, but, you know, one of those people that you just don't want to go with because you know they just won't stop
bugging you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So well, you know, that could have been remedied. I could have asked someone. I could have gone with friends. But I have such horrible experiences with homecoming Tolo. Every year, something goes absurdly wrong or, like, gross or upsetting or traumatizing, you know, some drama that I didn't want to deal with. I just wanted to go dance.
Right, right.
Like, you know, hey, I'm going with someone, you know, they're my friend. I kind of like them, blah, blah, blah. Oh, they're going to get drunk, really drunk, right in front of me. Like, stuff like that. And then, you know.
So that's prom, the stuff that you've dealt with is what you're saying.
That's the stuff,
right,
you know,
right.
Stuff like that. And then prom comes along and you're just like, I just did not want to go. I did not want to go. But then, you know, I'm at a friend's house last night. We're shooting pool. And I'm like, I really want to be at prom right now.
Right, right. Yeah, that's tough. That's very, very tough.
It's not okay. I'm going to have this void in my stomach. I'm not going to be able to tell my kids I went to prom.
You've got, like, 3 more years.
2 more years.
2 more years, yes. You've got 2 more years for prom business.
Okay.
So
I'll get there eventually.
You will be the belle of the ball.
I'll go, like, you know, when I'm 31 years old with my, you know, or, you know, 40 years old with my son. Take me to prom, Billy. Mom, that's so embarrassing. Billy, take me to prom.
You're going to be a psychotic mother. I can see that already. What do you think about prom?
Honestly, I have really nothing wrong with prom. I've never gone. I think people put way too much emphasis on it, though, because, like, all the girls, they, like, no, you do not understand. Like, I don't hang out with a lot of girls, but the few I do hang out with, you can tell they're really ditzy when they're like, they know the date for prom 3 months before anybody else talks about it. And they're talking about going that weekend to get their prom dress. And it's like people just put huge emphasis on it because it's like, oh, I'm going to prom. I'm going to prom. But most of the people that like are so psyched about it, they go, they get their pictures done, they leave. And there's like the few people that like, there's few people that are psyched and they go, they dance, they hang out. But it's like, that's usually what the people I know that go to prom, that's their thing. They spend all this money on dresses and, like, shoes and accessories. Mm-hmm. And it's just because that's, like, their thing. They think that, you know, if they go to prom, they'll be accepted by their friends. And honestly, I've never been to prom. I've never been to homecoming, Tolo, nothing. I really don't care. I'm going to go to senior ball, though, just because, you know, it's senior
ball. Well,
that's
ball. Your big deal. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
and I mean, that
deal.
I'm going to do. But, I mean, I really don't care if I go because, like, if I want to go dancing, I don't want to be in some 4-inch heels and a huge puffy dress. So that's just, like, my thing. But I don't know. It's, like, you know, it's the emphasis because on who you go with, what you're wearing.
It's got to be magical and perfect.
Yeah.
And you,
like,
can't deviate from the, don't ask somebody. Someone's going to ask you. And
yeah,
it's
like,
be, you
my
know.
Friend, she, for homecoming, she was going with this guy. She was so psyched. She was so happy. Was talking about it. Every second I was on the phone with her, she loved this guy to death. The day of prom, she comes home with her hair done, her nails done, her makeup done. She has her dress ready to get put on. And this girl calls and tells her that he's not going with her, but he's going with her. Like this, it turned out some like girl, Shannon girl, calls her up and she's like, well, you know, he's not going with you. He's going with me.
Oh.
2 hours before prom.
No.
I mean, 2 hours before homecoming.
Was she just ruined?
Oh, yeah.
Did she end up going?
She ended up going to.
Oh, my God.
Holy
whoa,
smokes.
Whoa, Jeb Bite. No.
Well, you know,
no,
let me just explain.
No, she ended up going to, like, Mariners, like, homecoming, you know.
That wasn't gunfire. That was a balloon. We've decorated with balloons, and one of the balloons have popped in the middle of our live radio program. Is there? I don't know.
See,
there's not even
people.
A light near it.
Welcome to live radio.
But yeah,
exactly.
That's
all right,
just, like,
but
how I feel. I
but
think
that's
just,
horrible,
like, way
though.
Too much emphasis on it. And it's like, you know, like, with the guy, I guess, like, his friends didn't think his date was good enough for him to go with.
Oh.
And that's why he left her for somebody else. And it's just, you know, it's really sad when
that's
you got to go to those extents over a simple dance, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that breaks my heart. That's bad. That's bad business.
Okay, to me, prom is either, like, the best night of your life or it's the most depressing.
Sure.
Because, I mean, like, you know, last night was prom for me, too. And my sister, I didn't go because I don't think guys are real big on asking me to a dance. At least not anybody from my high school anymore because, you know, I've got a two-month-old son at home. And
Does that really affect dating for you? Does that really? I mean, I would imagine that it would just in the time alone. I mean, you've got a child.
Yeah.
Got,
well,
yeah.
See, the thing is my mom says that it doesn't. And I know that she thinks it does it, but for me, it does, because people at my high school, they want to be young, they want to be carefree, they don't want to have to deal with having a girlfriend who's got a son at home and has to take care of him. When they want to go do something, they want to go do it at the spur of the moment.
Right.
And now I can't do that. I mean, you know, I want to stay home with my son sometimes, and sometimes I want to go do stuff with my friends, but people in high school, they just don't really understand that.
Sure.
And so I stayed at home last night, just, I mean, after I had my son, I was supposed to be in bed for 6 weeks, and I mean, then I only had 2 weeks till prom anyway, so I mean, you know, it wasn't really a big deal, but I mean, like, my sister got ready to go, and my sister looked gorgeous. I mean, she looked so happy, and her and her boyfriend went, and then as soon as they left, I was just like, wow, I'm a loser. I'm sitting at home by myself, and I'm probably going to eat a whole bunch of ice cream tonight.
But you didn't, because I came over.
Yeah, but then Kristen saved me.
But yeah, and which is, you know, thank goodness for good friends, but it's still, that's very tough. And, mm-hmm. I have to wonder, it's like all at once, you don't really care about it. And really, in the ultimate scheme of things, not going to prom is really not going, I mean, it's mm-hmm. not like you're a pariah now that branded with, you know, some sort of disfiguring issue, you know, yeah. disease or something. I mean, you're...
Yeah,
but people ascribe a lot of sort of depth and importance to going to prom.
The important people always go to prom. The unimportant people don't always get asked, and they usually stay home. If you're popular, you're always at prom. You always get a big group picture with 30 people in it, and then you show it to everybody, even if you don't like them. That way, they at least knew that you went to prom. And if you didn't go to prom, you're just kind of like, I stayed at home.
Is that, what do you think, Nate? Is that the deal?
I figured out that, you know, even if you don't get asked, you just become the DJ, so that way you
well,
have to
go. Well, there
you
go. Then you're at every prom
exactly.
there ever could be. All right.
There's a method to my madness.
There is a secret way to get in the door without a date.
Yep.
All right. Oh. But then, you know what? I'm thinking about all the stuff that you're saying, and you might want to stay up at the microphone for a sec.
I'll
but
do that.
That to me is just very, very unfortunate that we have got folks who are missing out on those sorts of important things and that are sitting at home feeling like I'm a loser
mm-hmm.
when that is so out of the, you know, that's not mm-hmm. even close to defining what a good person or a bad person is. Or, you know, popularity is rarely important once you leave high school. I mean, I know a lot of folks that were in my high school that were very popular that are now big losers. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I mean, so mm-hmm. it's just such an odd little mm-hmm. group, a little sociology
yeah.
issue gone wrong.
And
yeah.
and there's always the chance that if you do go, you're going to have a horrible time because the popular people are going to make fun of you. I came with a group of friends once, and it was probably like the best dance I ever went to because I had all my friends there, and it was
cool.
Yeah, it was great. And I didn't have to worry about anything because we danced in a big circle with my friends, and they're not going to judge me. But then at the same time, we had a bunch of popular people right behind us looking at us, pointing at us because, oh, look at the way she's dancing. I mean, look at that.
How? We also had popular people jumping into the middle of our circle and pretending they were cool and dancing there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all like, oh, what?
Yeah.
I don't get it. So they wanted to participate or were they
no,
making fun?
No, this is the way that they made fun. In fact, I was so mad after the dance because we came with, it was mostly girls and a couple guys, but one of the guys in particular, we all were joking around saying, oh, he's our date, ha ha ha. And so, like, the next week at school, everybody was like, so are you a lesbian? Did you just go with that one guy just so it would look like you had a guy date? Did you really
what?
Go with all those girls? And I'm like, look, these are my friends, okay? Just because I'm close friends with somebody doesn't make me a lesbian.
Here's the thing that just confuses me. Is everybody in high school an ignorant pig?
Yes.
Mostly.
What? I just don't get that. Is it true? Is it true?
I think it's true.
Do you deal with that sort of ignorant commentary on a regular basis?
I've had to deal with it since sixth grade. I had a group of close friends that were all girls, and to me, we were like, you know, close. I mean, we hung out all the time, like during lunch, during classes.
That's not odd. I mean, who doesn't have a group of
friends? I didn't think
it
was odd, but then, of course, I got branded as a lesbian throughout middle school because I had a group of friends that I was close with. And all of a sudden, I'm a lesbian because, hey, look at my friends.
You know, and that kind of, that sort of stuff is just so damaging to kids in school. I mean, you know, you wouldn't believe the sort of pain that I hear from kids. It just blows my mind that schools allow that to happen. I mean, I went to a really small school. I didn't deal with a lot of those issues. I mean, my school was very, very small. We all knew each other. We all lived, I mean, we grew up together. We tipped cows together. It was, you know what I mean? Like, we just, it was a very small little community of, you know, the school was not very big at all. Now, you're going to a school that has how many thousands of kids?
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
It's huge. It's a huge school. But it, it just seems that there is a little bit more tolerance for that kind of behavior in your age group.
The one time that it was allowed to get out of hand in middle school, people were throwing things at the back of my head when I was in choir class, and they were like, lesbian, lesbian. And I was just like, what have I done to deserve this, okay? I'm a person just like you guys are. And it was totally uncalled for. And at the end of class, I was crying. My choir teacher, she was the, like, one of the best teachers I could have ever had. And I haven't seen her in a long time, which is really sad. But she came up to me, and she was like, well, what's wrong? And I told her what all the students were doing to me in that class. And the next day, she stood at the front of the class, and she didn't tell them it was me, but they all knew because they were the ones that were doing it. Yeah. She told them that because I'm different, because I choose to wear my hair a different way or something like that, that they don't need to sit there and do this to me. If she ever finds out about it again, you know, they're going to get in trouble, that sort of thing. But, I mean, it never happened again.
And you were okay. I mean, yeah. See, that's a wonderful stuff. Those are the kind of adults that make the world go round. Very, very nice to hear that there's teachers dealing with that sort of stuff.
I think it's great that you have wonderful teachers, but I went to a really, really small school, too. Mm-hmm. It was private school, and there was 100 kids, and it was kindergarten through 8th grade.
Ooh, weird.
Yeah. And we all wore polo shirts and khaki pants. But anyway... But
weird. High schools with kindergarten.
No. This is grade school.
Oh God, I thought you said K through 12. Did you say?
No, K through 8th.
Well, it's still 8th grade in a kindergarten.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. Sorry.
So you know everybody, and everybody knows everybody. I had a graduating class of 8, and it was huge.
A graduating class. And that was the boom. That was the baby boom class, right there.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you get pegged. If you go to a small school like that, you get pegged in, like, kindergarten for who they think you're going to be.
And by the teachers or by the kids?
Both. Hmm. Because I know, and then, like, in third grade, I guess I developed more than the other girls. So I was a little bit bustier. So I got branded as a slut. And I did not do anything. I was, like, a lot more closed off. But I had open mind, and I would, like, write stories and things.
Be comfortable with their sexuality, young males who are comfortable with their sexuality, and they don't, you know, go around going, I am gay, you know, but it's sure is something that when people, you know, say, oh, you know, that you faggot or something like that, he says, do you know what you're saying? Your faggot comes from, is a kindling, which is what they used to burn witches with, and gay people were considered witches. You are saying that I should be burned. And they stop. Those popular
football...
Do they
stop? Do they?
They go, oh. Yeah. Sometimes. And then there's the people who go, well, yeah. You know, like... But you don't push that. I really don't believe that anyone should have the right to push that boundary of, like, teasing or, you know, that tension between stereotypes and cliques and stuff. Because that's expected. That's just like in the real world. To a different extreme. I don't think that justifies it, but whatever, you know. But this whole sexuality thing, I can't respect that at all.
People but I don't know, though. I don't know, Lena. I think that when I look at schools and I look at some of the things that kids say, and once again, this is all related. The conversation that we had before the show started was about guys that are in school that objectify women to the degree that they can make jokes about date rape, and then it's funny, and then it's okay, and it's acceptable.
It's not okay. Not
it's
at
not
all.
It's not okay, but to them, for some reason, on some level, they have forgotten, or they never were taught, or whatever. Whatever the case is, there's a certain climate going on within the schools that allows that sort of stuff to go on.
I think it's the power that's been put on men throughout the ages that gives them the ability to objectify women because of the media, because of whatever, because of the way they were brought up, because of the fact that for a long time the men were the breadwinners and the women stayed at home. All these things. And also, I think it's a lot about peer pressure. I've never met a guy who, to my face, and I'm friends with people who you could consider popular, and they can be complete jerks when they're with their friends, but they could never, ever say to my face that they believed in, date rape, or that they would just use a girl. I know there are guys who do, but it's I think a lot of times it's pressure to have that image.
Got it. So they act in a different manner than who they really are because they're with their cool friends. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, the whole thing on the ignorance in the school. I went to when I first came back to Washington, I went to Granite Falls. And I was, like, the only colored person there. And I was in kindergarten. So it was the hardest thing growing up in that I went there for 3 years. And I had to deal with ignorance from the very beginning at such a young age just because I was... I wasn't full white. You know, my mom was white. They'd see my mom come pick me up and they'd be like, are you adopted? Because I'm darker than her, you know? So I've always had to deal with ignorance. Like when me and Christine, we went to middle school together and I'd hang out with her, me and her have been friends for a while. And when I'd hang out with her and her group, everybody branded them like, they're skaters, lesbian skaters. And whenever I hung out with them, everybody come up to me like, Kristen, why are you hanging out with them? You're cooler than that, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I've never been so ignorant to stick with one kind of thing. Love variety. I love hanging out with all different kinds of people, all different kinds of open-mindedness, all different kinds of colors. It doesn't matter to me, just as long as they're not going to sit there and be like, oh, I'm better than this person because I wear this, or I'm better than this person because I drive that. And it's just so much ignorance in the school system. And that's why I think so many people fail in their relationships is because they're so ignorant and they're so willing to listen to their friends about what's going on, about all the gossip in the background and stuff like that, know? And it's so annoying to have to grow up in that kind of situation.
Absolutely. It sounds incredibly annoying. It sounds not only annoying, but damaging. I mean, there's so many things that go on that just, that really sort of lay a groundwork for your adult years. It's just very disturbing.
Yeah, you either learn to be yourself and learn to cope with the fact that you are who you are and you want to do what you want to do. And that's what I've done. I mean, I've gone through a lot because I've hung out with so many different people and I can hang out with so many different groups. So I've gone through a lot of people talking crap about me, but it's just, I mean, I could sit here and be like, well, you know what? I'm happy with who I am, and I really couldn't care less what you think about me.
Right.
But with other people, they can be like, oh my God, this person thinks I'm stupid because I'm hanging out with her, so I'm going to stop hanging out with her. I'm going to hang out with these people. But these are the people that are talking crap about their friends behind their back, and they'll hop you to their face.
Insidious, yeah. Definitely insidious, so, and I think, definitely a reality as well. Let's have a comment from our good friend, and we're going to go to a musical break.
Hey, I just recently took a class at the U last quarter in women's studies, and some of this idea of talking about, like, how jockish guys can get away with, objectifying women and talking about date rape and stuff like that. I mean, that idea really ties into to the theory of sort of, like, society not, like, sort of endorsing having it like an ignorant attitude or bigotry, but like sort of giving people permission to have that idea and just sort of giving them the opportunity to do it without punishing them. Like, I mean, for instance, there's the idea that's like, I don't know, I guess an analogy I can come up with is like affirmative action, right? I mean, because there are people in the world who just don't think that, black people deserve the same shake as white people, they just won't hire as many black people unless there's a law that says that they have to. I mean, in the same way, I mean, there are guys out there who think that objectifying women is okay, right? And they won't change their mind, and they won't like see the other way unless they're told that this is what you got to do.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
It's not okay to make these sort of comments.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Good conversation, friends. A very, very good conversation. It's all so related, and self-esteem and peer pressure and peer relations and dating it's all about that. And high school can be a very, very miserable time at times. Nate, we're going to go to a musical break because we need a brain break. We need to rest for a moment.
Yes, we do.
What's the selection?
It's Lena.
Lena.
Yes, me. I'm going to play some David Garza. I got this CD in San Francisco last year at the Green Apple Bookstore, and I'd been looking for it for 2 years, and I found it in the 98-cent bin.
Aww.
So, and this song is kind of a feel-good song. David Garza's track 4 off of
this euphoria and I don't know, kind of describes the San Francisco feel that I got. So
very nice. Some David Garza for you.
I believe the name of the song is actually called Lost.
Lost is the name of the song. You're listening to Youth Voice here on 90.7 KSER. Welcome back to Youth Voice. This is Troy. I'm your host. Today we're talking about, well, you know, we're talking about a lot of everything. We're really talking about relationships here is what we're talking about. We're talking about high school and dating and prom and all that funky business. Are there rules for dating? Are there sort of rules to how you, who you date, how you date, who pays, who doesn't, you know, is there? Lena?
Okay, there's so many different rules. There's like click to click, you know, I know different...
No click crossing.
Well, you know what? I'm really amazed when it actually does Like, and it's kind of neat when it does. But, like, click to click, there's different rules within that, what's appropriate. Because there's a particular group at my school that is neither nerdy nor popular. They are just there. And there is one guy in this group that has dated every single girl in their group of friends. And they don't seem to mind at all. And, you know, there's different rules within each clique. Like, popular kids have this really warped idea of what, well, to me, you know. Anyway, mm-hmm. But also, like, the way you're brought up and, like, how traditional you are, I think, like, I've been asked on a date before, you know, and I said yes, and then we got there. And it was like, I just wanted to pay for myself. That was just, like, fine with me. I didn't expect him to pay. And then he just paid. It, like, didn't even occur to him and then I was like, you want me to give you gas money? He's like, nah, it's okay. But then, you know, there's those people who are just like, you want to go somewhere? Bring money.
So. Do you guys make that sort of, do you create that understanding before you go out? Do you
no, say, I always just, I always, I don't go on that many dates, but like.
Come prepared with cash.
Yeah, why not? I think it's out of respect, you know. It's
sure,
nice.
Well, just in case, you don't want to be stuck there saying, have them go, what? Yeah. Buy you what?
You want me to pay money? But, you know, like, I think that, you know, the way you're brought up and the rights and wrongs, like, you do not force, you know, that's just, you do not force sex upon someone or something like that. But that happens anyway, you know?
Oh, got it. All right.
Okay, yeah. I have something to say about that whole.
I
was telling Christine and Jessica about my little incident not too long ago, and I don't think he's listening, but if he is, dude, I'm really sorry, but I have to say this. Okay.
Just no names.
I'd asked this guy out just, you know, a couple weeks ago to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt really bad because I asked him out, so I wanted to pick him up, but I didn't have access to the car at the time, so he ended up having to pick me up.
Okay.
And then when we got to the movies, I had paid for it. And he flipped. He, like, seriously, he pulled out his wallet. He's like, well, why'd you do it? And I'm just like, well, I asked you to the movie, so I figured I'd pay. And he ended up pulling out his wallet, trying to pay me back.
So and you, like, paid for the both of you to go.
Yeah, and it and just, he flipped it really, out about it. It really, it bothered him. He said, it, like, it bothered him because he was scared, like, I wouldn't have money left over, blah, blah, blah. But I think it was just, like, because, you know, he was the guy, and so he had to pay, even though I was the one who asked him, and... You know, there was a couple times during the entire, you know, day, he tried so hard to pay me back for a simple ticket. And I was just like, so it's like that kind of bothers me because I don't really have roles, but I'm like, if a guy's going to ask me, you know, I'll bring money just in case, but more than likely, I'm going to expect him to pay. Mm-hmm. So, like, just vice versa. If I ask a guy, I'm going to pay. I won't have a problem with that, you know, because
right.
I asked.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know.
But your experience is that guys are uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, it's like it bothered him to know that a female was so willing to not only ask him to go somewhere, but to pay for him too, because he was the guy and, you know, he was supposed to do that.
And he is supposed to he's supposed to have the money.
Yeah, and it's just like is the whole guy, you know, guys are supposed to do this, guys are supposed to do that.
Right,
like,
right.
With guys using girls for sex, you know, it's expected, but when girls use guys for sex, oh my God. You know, it's this huge mm-hmm. problem. Like, I know plenty of girls that use guys for sex, and as soon as the guys figure it out, then they get mad and they start spreading rumors, and it's, you know, it's because they got used and they know what it feels like now, you know?
Very interesting, very interesting. Changing times.
I think that there's one golden rule of high school dating.
What's that?
And that's just date within your social level. If you date anybody lower, then... Now, you know, you're down among their level. You know, you're not popular anymore. You have to be friends with them. And
really?
Yeah, which is, you know, stupid.
So a lot of pressure. In high school, are you set up on dates? I mean, do people try to play matchmaker and do all that kind of stuff?
Well, in all walks of life, people try and play matchmaker. But it's not really big in high school. Unless you say, oh, I kind of like this guy. Then a friend of yours is going to go and tell him and try and get you guys together. Even if that's not what you want. So, I mean, you know.
So it happens.
There's always going to be a matchmaker.
Right, right.
So, and it's just, I don't know. I think it's just stupid that I like someone, but they're more popular than me. So there's no way that he would date me because I'm not as popular. So that somehow makes me lower than everyone else. And it's, you know, it hurts a lot of people because...
Well, who wants to feel that way?
No, nobody wants to feel that right. way. But I mean, like, I seriously, like, have had a crush on a guy who's more popular than me since, like, last year, and there's no way he would ever go out with me. He doesn't know I like him either, so.
And what's his name? No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. That's difficult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult stuff. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just had to say something about that.
Yeah.
Well, the whole groups, like, dating within your group, like I said, I've never really been one to, hold people to...
Go ahead.
There, you know, I've never been one to hold people to, like, everybody else's stereotypes, so I've never really had a problem with dating different kinds of people. But one thing I've learned is you do not date guys that are all friends. Like, you know, no. Like, two different girls. Okay, one girl who I think she is listening, so I'm just going to say, there's a problem when you date a guy and then you go out with his brother, okay? You do not, that's Yikes. Like the new meaning to keeping it in the family, okay? That's just wrong, just because I know if my sister ever went out with one of my ex-boyfriends, I'd have to, you know,
there'd be some issues, right?
Yeah, there. It's just, yeah, it just seems bad. And then, you know, my other friend who, she dated a guy, she broke up with him, dated his friend, broke up with him, dated his friend, you know, and the entire time that she's dating these guys, they're sitting there talking mad trash about her behind her back just because she was so stupid to date guys that were all in the same clique. Yeah, and so you don't do that. You don't date people's, you know, your ex-boyfriend's family members or your ex-girlfriend's family members, and you don't date within the same group because there's always going to be, like, huge conflicts with that.
Very good rules for dating. Yeah. You know what we're going to do right now is take another musical break. Nate, or I forgot your name. It's
hey,
Jay.
What's up? It's Jay.
I know, it's Jay. I was like, Nate or Jack? James? Jay.
Yo, this is Jay here.
Jay's on at the helm, and he is going to tell me who's going to play a song next.
Coincidentally, I am.
What a happy day.
Oh, yeah. It's a great day. I'm going to play Cesar Rosas, his song Elos Ballad number 2.
Cesar Rosas?
Yep. He's a Spanish dude who plays rock and roll, and it's really
right
good
on.
Stuff. And so here you go.
Another eclectic selection for you from your friends here at Youth Voice 90.7 KSCR. Enjoy.
Woke up this morning. They're by my side. Only a letter. I broke down and cried. Thinking of you. Thinking of you. Holding me tight. Nobody knows that you're putting me down. So, darling, please don't you tell them I'm down. Thinking of you, I'm thinking of you. Holding me tight. I wonder if you know that you're causing all this pain. Tears are running down my face, girl. Lord, I think it's gonna rain. Goodbye.
And so I live in a world of despair. Maybe someday we'll see each other somewhere. Thinking of you, I'm thinking of you. Holding me tight, just a holding me tight. I'm thinking of you, I'm just thinking of you. Can't you see me crying?
Welcome back to Youth Voice. Now, who is that again, Jay?
That was Cesar Rosas doing Elos Ballad number 2.
Cesar Rosas?
Yep, that's my man. Don't worry that. He was in Los Lobos, which was a very famous group.
Hey,
in
I
the
remember
80s.
Los Lobos.
Great stuff.
Very big when I was in high school, Los Lobos was.
They're my heroes.
Your heroes.
Yeah.
So, today on Youth Voice, we're talking about prom and dating. And relationships in high school and how tough it can be. And boy, howdy, how tough can it be? Pretty, pretty tough business. Here's a question that we brought up. When it comes to rules for dating, first date smoochy, second date smoochy, third date smoochy, or no smoochy at all?
Smoochy. Okay. I think it depends, once again, what social level. Sorry, yeah, lever.
What social lever you're pulling, yeah. Okay.
What level you're on, because if you're on, like, the most popular and you're thought of the innocent girl, then it's like, well, maybe you'll get a first date peck on the cheek. But if you're not popular, low self-esteem, then guess what? You're going all the way on first date.
Really? Is that a reality, though?
People
with less self-esteem are more likely to...
Well, if you have low self-esteem and you don't feel good about yourself, I mean, are you going to care what somebody does to you? I mean, are you actually going to be like, oh, I want to keep my body for me. I don't want anybody to
You know, that makes very
me.
That makes very good sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would imagine that somebody who is feeling a lack of self-esteem will look to fill that void in whatever way they can, and potentially, you know, sex and sexual activity in general will serve that need. We've heard that before on this first show as far as statistics and such, but yeah.
Yeah, they just think that it'll make them happier. It'll make them... You know, they'll have somebody to
they'll
love
be
now.
Loved. They'll be, yeah, they'll be complete. They'll
Which
be, yeah.
isn't true at all. They're just going to end up with some guy who goes and brags about him, or they're going to end up pregnant or something like that.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not really the right answer.
Yeah, no, not at all, but thank you. That's very interesting. Yes.
Yeah, well, like I've said before, you know, I don't believe in social levels. I know they're
you
there.
You don't like
but
them.
I don't. Make myself accept one kind of group.
Sure.
And so with me, like with first dates, I don't know. It depends on the guy. Like how he make like hit the vibes I get from him. If he gives me the vibes like, you know, he wants to like have a goodnight kiss, or if he's like really shy and he's just kind of like timid and he wants to like stay back, just wants a goodnight hug or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, you know, I've done it before. Like one guy, I've kissed him goodnight and it was no big deal. And then, you know, with another guy, we went on, like, 5 or 6 dates before we did anything, you know?
Right,
so
right.
So it all depends on the vibe that I get from the guy. And it's like, I'm not going to, like, do anything. If he wants to, I'm going to do it, like, if I want to and if I think he'd be willing. So
right, right, if he's open
it's
to
like,
having
you know,
a smooch.
Forget
right.
what the guy thinks. This is what I feel. No. I'm just playing, really, because I know my mom's listening. And I swear, Mom, it's not like that. But, but you know, I don't think it's because of levels. I think it's just, it depends on how you feel at the end of the day, how comfortable you feel with each other.
Got it. That makes absolute sense.
Yes.
Here's a question. Stranger comes up to you and says, hey, I like you. I think you look very nice. Will you date me? Would you go on a date with a person that you didn't know?
No.
No.
Honestly, no.
Ixnay on me.
Yeah, because I've never ever gone out, and I never ever will go out with a guy who's had a line. I will never.
Who's had a line?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate really overconfident guys that come up and like, damn, girl, what's up? What's your name? What's your number? I hate that.
It bothers me,
you know. I like the guys that are, you know, they're confident, but they don't go over the top with it.
Well, so, I mean, there's a fine line between being confident and being corny.
Yeah, and it's I will never date a guy that has a line.
Some of the lines that they say. It's so sad. Please.
The saddest one I've ever had, this guy was poking me in the back of the head on the bus. And I turned around and I'm like, what? He goes, is your hair real? And that was like his line to get my attention. I was, you know what, man? I was like, back up. Just back up, you know?
That's nice.
So it's like, I wouldn't go out with a guy if he approached me like that. I'd have to get to know him
before I'd actually
be willing to be alone with him.
So guys, if you're listening, the best way to get a date probably isn't to go club some woman on the head and drag her to your cave.
No, it's not even like that anymore.
You know, real or not.
But yeah, so that's my little input on that.
Got it. Thank you. What do you think?
Okay, I have dated like guys and without knowing them, and for me it's like the worst relationships ever. Because I didn't really know this guy, but I was talking on the phone with him, you know, we exchanged numbers briefly.
Yeah.
I figured, okay, we can be friends. But he called me and he was like, so, you got a man? And, you know, in this really immature, like, voice, and I'm like, well, no. And he goes, do you need one? And I'm like, I don't know. And then the next day, that meant that we were going out. That meant that we were now officially a couple. And I didn't know that. And then all of a sudden, we were walking down the street, you know, talking, and he's like wanting to hold my hand. I'm like, whatever. And then as he was, you know, getting ready to go home, he goes, can I get some affection?
What?
And I'm like,
he said, can I get some affection?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'll give him a hug. I gave him a hug, and he's like, dang, that's all I get. And I'm like, yeah. Do I know you? I don't think so. And so it's like,
that's funny.
You don't want to be going out with somebody that you don't know, because they could be like some psycho guy who.
But seriously, though, I mean, like, yeah, can I get some affection? That's yeah. Like,
it's like, well, here's a hug. Leave me alone, psycho.
That's freaky.
Yeah, it is.
Very freaky. So what do you think, friend? Stranger, no stranger?
I am so against stranger dating. I have never...
Stranger dating, that's the label. No stranger dating here.
I've always gone out with my friends because I felt like I was more close to them.
Right.
And recently I felt I needed to be a little on the wild side. So I dated like two guys who were my friends' friends. Ooh.
People you didn't really know all that well.
Yeah,
but
and I like just met them that day.
Okay.
And then like I saw them a couple times. And you gotta be careful with exactly, I really don't recommend it. Because one of the guys I dated, he's a sweetheart, but yeah, he like planned our marriage and our kids and where we would live and our wedding and everything the second date.
I'm like, wow, did he come with like a day planner and all this stuff? We'll need to order the dress.
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
Wow. See, now that, you know, that's kind of crazy. I mean, well, kind of.
You're telling me.
I mean, it's like totally crazy, actually.
And then he wouldn't stop calling.
Yeah, I would imagine that those two issues would sort of, I mean, if he's already sort of planned his wedding and your wedding with him
and all that, then
I would imagine he would be a hard one to shake off.
Yeah,
How did you finally pull the plug on that?
I just, well, I'm a big sleeper, so.
So you were just always sleeping when he called, is that the case?
Basically.
So he's still waiting, sitting in at the chapel in
no,
his tux.
I think he got the hint.
Got it.
Because I tried blowing him off. I like saying, you know, hun, I don't like you. And he didn't get the hint.
Boy, you know, I'm hearing from them. I mean, I think that there's a stereotype that girls are the ones that get all gushy-mushy, but I'm hearing from both Lena and some other folks that the guys are doing it too. The guys are getting super emotional, bought into the relationship. Planning their wedding with you.
It's like, honey, okay, let's like determine that we actually like each other
right.
first.
Right. And he's like, well, can I get some affection? Lena, what do you think? Stranger dating.
Oh, well, you know, I don't believe in looks, judging on looks, but
I've been like, I'm kind of, I'm 15, almost 16, and I look older than I am. I mean, not like tremendously, but people usually get.
You look like you're 45.
That's kind of embarrassing.
I'm sorry.
So, my prom date was going to be a 54-year-old man. No. No. But, like, I'm also kind of a nerd. So, like, you know, I'll be at a juggling festival or something like that. And I really enjoy talking to people. I really am comfortable talking to people.
And socializing and all that, right?
And I kind of sometimes forget that when I'm talking to, like, a 23-year-old guy and he asks for my phone number, it's not so we can exchange, you know, sword-swallowing tricks, you know. it's like so
because for those of you who are just tuning in now thinking, what is she talking about? See, Lena's a bit of the circus freak. She likes to juggle and she sort of dabbles in that arena.
Well, yeah, I kind of dribble in that arena less than dabble, but
right, but
it's interesting to me. I kind of hope my mom's listening, so she knows that's why I kind of always hung up the phone really fast when she was walking in the door, because, like, it's so embarrassing to me. I didn't know how to tell these guys, like, sorry, I did not know what you meant.
Like, so you think you've met a new friend, when yeah, in actuality, well, they're looking for a date.
But then I kind of got this idea, and I kind of got the hint. And
right.
I'm not saying I'm, like, a desired item or anything, but, like, it's so fun to meet people, and I think, you know, I don't give my phone number out, like, ever, but it is really fun to meet people, and I guess you could call it flirting, but, like, I don't flirt. I'm really bad at it when I try. It's more like, hi, you know, it's like more of a nervous breathing, you know, that, So I don't even attempt it anymore. But I no stranger dating, just stranger talking.
Right, stranger talking, no dating.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, or scaring as the case may be. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have the same problem as Lena when it comes to flirting. I mean, it's like I start to kind of like breathe heavy. My face gets really red and I start to sweat like really bad. And like if I'm just standing next to him, I start to think, God, I must smell so bad. And so then I'm just kind of like wanting to back away from them. And then they're kind of thinking, oh, she must like not like me. But I mean, I can't help it. I'm a geek.
Something comes over you. Something happens.
I start to sweat and I get all red and I'm just kind of like. It's just, I don't understand how to flirt.
Oh, that's funny stuff.
Okay, Christine, I still love you.
Yeah, we still love you. Cool. We'll all go on a date with you. Whole youth voice crew. Very interesting stuff. That's very funny. And I want to hear now. Jay said something to me that was sort of funny. And I wanted to get clarification on this because he used the word. What was the word that you used? You were talking about a nightmare date from HE Double Hockey Sticks. And what did you say?
Me?
Yeah, you said that it was like some sort of passive aggressive.
Mild hostility.
Low key hostility. What kind of date is that?
It's just sort of more like the context for the entire relationship, just sort of like less going out and more sort of, you know, psychological warfare.
And that's a great relationship, psychological warfare. I mean, that really builds for very healthy interactions.
Well, not healthy so much as, you know, interesting.
So you enjoy that, though. You're like sparring with someone intellectually. It's not, or is it just that outright battle?
Well, it's more just sort of like I'd say it'd qualify more as sparring, and it's, you know, it's not so much fun when it's going on, but afterwards you look back and say, well, you know, at least it was an interesting experience, you know.
All right, I'll buy that.
All right,
sure. We're just talking about relationships and dating. And we talked a little bit about prom, too. A lot of bad vibes around the whole prom gig. Here's a question. Someone comes up to you, and they say, hey, do you want to go on a date? Is it difficult, or hey, I kind of like you, and you know that, I would imagine that there are people who kind of throw the vibe before they even say anything, you're kind of getting the idea or the impression that they've got a crush on you and you want to stop them before it gets too far. Is it hard to say no?
Okay, for me, it is so hard to say no because I feel like I'm going to, like,
hurt their feelings.
Them somehow. Yeah. And so, like, if a guy goes, well, maybe we can go out sometime. Can I get you a number? I just kind of go, okay, my number is 555. 555. And then they're like, okay, so this is your real number? Yeah, man, that's my real number.
Do you give them a fake number for real?
Yeah.
Oh, you are funny.
And then they may, like, when I had a job, they come in my work, like, a week later and be like, this wasn't the right number. And be, really? Dang, I must have messed up. And then I just go, actually, now my phone is disconnected. But here's my pager number. And then I'll give them the wrong pager number. Or I don't even have a pager anymore. And yeah. It's just, like, it's so hard for me to say, I'm sorry, no, you're icky. because
well, I don't know that you have to say, boy, you really stink, and I actually hate you.
Well, most of them are icky.
Most of them are really icky.
Yeah, they think that.
Well, I don't know. Is there something wrong with saying, you know what? No, it's not going to work.
No, there's nothing.
It's not going to happen.
No, there's nothing wrong with it at all. It's just that I'm afraid that I'm just going to, like, hurt their feelings. What if they have bad self-esteem to begin with, and, like, this is the one time in a long time that they've decided to go ahead and ask someone out?
And you break their heart.
It happened to me before. It was one time I asked anyone out, and they said, oh, I'll call you back. And then 3 months go by, and then I see them on the street, and they're like, oh, I don't even remember that.
Got it.
So, I mean, it's too hard.
Yeah, that is very hard. It's very hard. Saying no. I mean, I know you've had your fair share where you're dealing with people that are sort of odd and.
I beat them off with a stick.
Very nice.
I think I have I think I attract freaks. I'm friends. I end up being friends with all of them.
Sure. Working in the whole circus freak industry, I bet you get a lot of sort of.
All those, like, small-handed, smells like cabbage type of figures, you know. No, I have a. Okay, just drop it.
I don't even want to know.
I kind of just, I love this about my parents is that they're very forward and that use me as an excuse, and I do.
Like, mom, dad will not somebody, let me. Right.
I can't date older people if it's an older person.
If it's an older person.
Or, you know, like, I'm 15, and I don't have a problem saying, let's be friends, but it's when somebody directly, like, says, you want to do this, and I really don't want to, I'll usually say, oh, gosh, I just can't right now, I'm so busy. You know, like.
Sure, sure.
I don't want to be hurtful, even though I know. Everyone needs me and everything, and I'm such an object of desire that me saying no to them would just hurt them.
Don't you have some flame to juggle or something? And a final comment.
I know I have the most trouble in the whole world saying go away. Especially, I when you get in, it's even harder when you get into a relationship with them, and then you realize they're scary and creepy. And just are mean.
Sure.
And it's hard to go, oh, yeah, honey, well, you were cute, and I know I said I really liked you, but, you know, that changed.
Do you actually say, hey, I don't like you anymore?
I don't know. I just go, oh, well, you know, I just don't feel right about the situation.
Right, I need to be alone right now. Yeah, I've got issues to deal with. Sure, sure.
And I have the best thing when scary old men try to date you. Just go... Because I'm 18, and you can't say you're 18 when they ask you how old you are. Go, hi, I'm 12, and eep, and run away.
I'm 12, eep, and
just
run.
Say, I'm jailbait.
All right, folks. I want to thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Nate and Jay for doing a great job in the production room today.
Flatterer,
that would be me. I want to thank everybody here for all their good stuff. What am I doing?
Oh, I just wanted to say who we're taking you guys out with. This is a band called Sick Room, local group, young group, great, talented. They're great. So here you go.
Here you go. A little Sick Room for you. 90.7 KSCR Youth Voice. We'll see you next Sunday. Until then, have a great, great week.